Back to the Hardline. Enter at your own risk.
Always pay my union dues. I don't stay in a passing lane. And he said, what about all that whiskey and cocaine? I said, well, yeah, but that's no reason to throw me in hell. As I didn't use the cocaine to get high, just like the way it smelled.
You're listening to Faith.
Welcome back to the Hardline, where rock is Satan, and this is the
this
song that
conversation
is representing
with the
it.
Devil.
Yes, that is exactly
the conversation with Ray Wiley Hubbard.
There you go,
a poet for our times.
That is Bob Ramsey. I am former Missouri wide receiver T.J. Moe. Matt Rocchio here, and this song was
you
made
and him right alongside
for rock.
The poets.
We're
going to
do
times.
Something fun here. Your thoughts are welcome, and any question you would like to throw into this mess that we're about to get into, 855-282-8255. I will try to read those. Text. Here is one, the correction text. It was not Wesley Stokes. It was Ricky Clemens.
That's it.
Yes. And by the way, just as you said off the air, Wesley hit the last second shot to beat the Billikens in 01. How could you forget that, Rammer? You were
no,
definitely there.
I told them that during the break. That's yes. why I wasn't on board. I did remember
Ricky Clemens,
that.
I knew that, actually. I didn't understand the context, but yes, Ricky Clemens is the guy that everybody at Mizzou hates. So there you go.
Yeah.
Anyway. Few questions for you. I was just thinking about all this stuff earlier. These questions are coming off the top of my head.
200
they
seconds
are
on the clock.
Cardinal prediction questions.
Go.
You are not allowed to think about them.
Whew. Okay.
None of this. No. Nope.
That's my bit.
No, we're gonna go as long as we want to, but no. I'm gonna go with this. How many home runs does Tyler O'Neill hit this year?
22.
Okay. Yadier Molina last year. His batting average, 261. This year it will be?
277.
Oh, wow. Good year for Yachty. The starting rotation in July is what?
Oh, gosh. That takes too long to answer. It's five guys.
Yes.
It'll be Michaelis. It'll be Flaherty. It'll be Hudson. It'll be Waka. And it'll be I'm Gomby, damn it.
Ah, Austin Gomber. Okay, mm-hmm. Which brings me to my next question. Where does he spend more time this year, Carlos Martinez, the bullpen or the starting rotation?
Wrong question. DL.
Ah, interesting. How many innings does Carlos Martinez give the Cardinals this year?
84.
Okay. Over, under 85 innings for Alex Reyes?
Over.
From the starting rotation or?
Closer.
Oh, boy. There you go. I like this. Over, under a 490 slugging percentage for Paul Goldschmidt?
That's a great question. I'll just say over.
Yeah, I'm with it too. I think his career is around 500.
That's really good.
Last year, we understand what kind of crazy year he had. Last year, Matt Carpenter had an OPS of 897. Over, under 870.
Over.
If all of your predictions are right, these Cardinals are going to win 95 games.
97.
All right.
Pitching, all right. Pitching.
Marcelo Zuna last year. This was while he didn't do anything particularly well, he actually averaged 280 this year, over under.
Under.
Oh. Okay, so let's jump to his OPS then. 758.
Slightly over.
Okay, so you think he's going to slug better but be less consistent?
I think he's going to be pretty mediocre, and that's how O'Neill's going to get playing time to hit those home runs.
Over, under, Marcelo Zuna starting 100 games this year.
Over. Barely. That's a great number.
Okay.
It's a great number.
Dexter Fowler, last one here. Dexter Fowler, over, under 50 starts this year.
Well, April, May, just over.
I'm with you.
Just over.
And that means Jose Martinez is getting about that money and Tyler O'Neill is getting about that money.
Mm-hmm.
Good stuff. All right. Chris Kerver coming up right now. He was on with Frank Guzman, the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Frank Opinion coming up after that in the Cam Jansen program. Do not miss that. Some Blues hockey tonight. LA Kings, 9:30. Stick around. Stay up. We missed it last night. I missed it last night. I was sick. You were
go
up
Blues.
Watching. It was good stuff. Chris Kerber, previewing tonight's game. Here it is.
Chris Kerber, welcome to the program. Thank you for joining us for Los Angeles. That was incredible last night.
You know, it really was, frankly. You're sitting there, and you've got a late power play, a chance to tie it up. Nothing really develops. Their guy comes out of the penalty box, and The team just stayed with it. So quite an impressive 12 seconds. And, you know, and it goes to what Craig Berube said prior to the game. He goes, we have just got to get bodies in front of the net, take shots, and fight for the puck. And when we do that, we're going to score some goals. Well, they did it, and thank goodness 12 seconds worked.
Because you're looking at those standings last night late while they're trailing. Oh, Dallas is only 1 point behind. Boy, three looks a lot bigger, and it could be five tonight.
Well, that and they even put another 2 points between you and Colorado, which is the ninth spot. And that's the most important part there. So, yeah, you're going against the second to last place team in the Western Conference that had seven guys called up from the American Hockey League. And you were struggling to find a way to get 2 points out of it. And at one point you're thinking, okay, you've tied it. Maybe you'll just get the one and see where the luck goes. Well, that changed. And all of a sudden you had two and the game didn't even go into overtime. So, an exciting win, a thrilling one, and now you see if you can build on it tonight against the Kings.
Boy, the Braden Schenn impact evident right away with that first period goal.
No doubt about it. You know what, Frank? He went to the front of the net right off the bat. You could see a different spark in that line. There's definitely chemistry with those three guys. And then the way it shifted the lines down the rest of the way, there was more speed with Sandquist, with Schwartz on one side. And the hockey IQ of Steen on the other. I mean, it definitely adjusted the line, and you could feel that impact, especially on the power play too. So the Blues were, but you know, at the same time, the Blues had to get to the middle of the ice to shoot the puck, and that's what one of the focuses in the game was last night. Is Craig Berube wanted more shots coming from that slot area with the body in front of the net, and that's what they got.
Will Jake Allen play goal tonight?
Yeah, I don't know. They were going to go to the morning over in state. They did not. They decided not to do that. So I don't know what the goaltending decision is going to be. You know, it was a pretty good high volume game for Bennington. So my expectation is probably that Jake would start tonight.
We're talking with Chris Kerber. This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all new 590 The Fan. You and I have tweeted about it. We talked about it the other day about the emergence of other lines. So which of the next lines do you kind of like the feel for? We know how great the first line is. What do you think moving forward? Who do you like?
Well, I really think that the way the makeup of that Schwartz Sundquist Steen line is one that could be more productive, and that one could be a real benefit for the Blues. One, you've got a line that could be excellent defensively, but has the offensive ability. And now, to me, the way that's going to start is I think Jaden Schwartz has to start having that puck stick on his stick a little bit better. You know, I'd like to see him back with the confidence of making moves and making plays, and he really hasn't had that all season long. So that's a big key to that one. You know, and it was a big one last night. Robert Thomas had a huge game, and I realized, you know, he was on the ice when the goalie was pulled. I know, you know, obviously there was that power play goal as well. The power play last night was fantastic. But, you know, Robert Thomas can really probably be a big difference maker with Bozak and Maroon on that line. But because of his speed, you've got to have the speed there, and that was evident in the game last night as well. But for me, the line that I think has, outside of the top one, that has kind of the most impact potential would be a line of Schwartz, Sundquist, and Steen if they were to keep it together.
Speaking of Robert Thomas, I think sometimes we forget of his age. He's still 19. He'll be 19 until July 2nd. Chris, do you think when this guy's 21, 22 years old, he's a 25 goal scorer, or what do you think?
You know what? I don't know how to project his points, but you know, obviously he's getting that 20-point plateau this year in his rookie season and moving past that. You know, so, yeah, I do think somewhere, however you get to it, he's a 50-point-plus guy down the road here. When you talk to other coaches, when you talk to scouts for other teams as well that have watched him, they're still extremely high on him and watching his development, confidence grow. So they definitely have a keeper and a real smart hockey player there. So whether that translates to 25 goals, you know, kind of if you think about Jaden Schwartz too, kind of where he was going last year, there might be some similarities there. But without a doubt, I think that you're talking about a player that eventually becomes a regular 50-plus point player in the NHL. And frankly, they're hoping that it ends up being a lot more. They're hoping that he becomes more of that, you know, 65-plus points a season kind of player for them. And frankly, with what he's shown, he probably could be.
as miserable as the Kings have been this year, they're also a team 2-0 against the Blues.
Yeah, you know, they've had some good goaltending. They've had some, you know, these bodies bang, and they brought that big size. And, you know, the time that the Blues have played them, they haven't played them all that terrifically. The Blues have not. So I'm looking forward to seeing how this one goes. This is another, I guess they're all big from that standpoint, Frank, but, you know, the ability to try and take a 2-0 road trip into San Jose, you know, is really just big from a psychological standpoint, which is why that comeback was so enormous last night. But the LA Kings have struggled. They've struggled to find a team game. Now, they still have some, you know, obviously a Kopitar, a Brown. They still have Doughty. They still have Rick. They've got good hockey players. But they just never got any kind of consistency after the coaching change the way the Blues were able to get. But, again, Frank, counting last night's game, the Blues are playing 11 of the bottom 12 teams in the National Hockey League in the final schedule here.
Ooh.
You've got to make hay in those games. You're only playing four teams. Going into last night's scenarios, you're only playing four teams that were in a playoff spot. And so the only team that in the bottom 10 that you aren't playing is LA, and they were tied points with Buffalo. You've got to make some hay, and to do that, you've got to elevate your play and beat the teams that have not been very good. And that's why this one's important. You've got to find a way to keep it rolling against the teams. And the LA Kings are the dead last place team in the Western Conference.
Give us a little insight here. I know we don't know for sure the playoff picture, but let's just say the Blues, who right now are 6 points behind Winnipeg and 7 behind Nashville, let's just say they catch one of them and move into second place. What's the advantage in terms of a playoff picture, gut feel?
The only advantage in that scenario is you'll have home ice. You know, so to me, there's two scenarios that roll into it. One, the way the National Hockey League has done the playoff seeding and the wild card seeding over the last 5 years, Frank, and this is the 6 year of this current format, is I think it puts a premium on winning the division. Because and the general managers are actually talking about this at the GM meetings, because so many people seem to be upset in the 2-3 matchup inside your division. Well, I think way too much is being made of that because how tight teams are top to bottom anyway. But if you win the division, if you're a division winner, you get one of the two wild card teams, and you avoid that matchup. If you are second, well, you get home ice against a third-place team. So that's the real advantage there. To me, winning the division avoids that head-to-head matchup with that second or third-place team. And then, of course, if you win the division now and, say, Calgary were to win the other division and have more points, well, then, you know, you're in the first wild card, rather. Let me slow down here and make sure I get this right for you. If you're not second or third and you end up in the top wild card spot or one of the wild card spots, there's a chance you could play Calgary and you could avoid the juggernaut of Minnesota or Winnipeg. And I realize picking a poison is still a poison, but the reality of it is whatever matchup that second or third is in the Central Division is going to be an absolute doozy of a matchup because of the quality of the team. So to me, the key is win the division and see where it goes. But like you said, if you do get second place, at least you've got home ice if that were to go to a game seven.
I don't know if you went down to the locker room after the game, but if you did, I'd love a take of any conversation you may have had, because you think about it, Chris, you lose that game and you're on the cusp of losing that game. It'd be three losses in a row, I think, for the first time since November. It's a completely different feel the way that thing transpired now. Any reaction from the locker room?
The two guys that I talked to after the game, and the reaction was, you know, we felt that we were in it. We didn't play our best game, but we knew that we had a chance if we just kept plugging away at it. And when we pulled the goaltender, I mean, this is what was said, when we pulled the goaltender, we still had a calm there. We felt good when we got the other one and the first one. And then when I talked to Ryan O'Reilly, I asked him specifically about the play, because when he went in on the forecheck, he led it, and when he does that, even though he knows he's probably not getting to the puck, he's just trying to force the play. The key was Braden Schenn being in the right spot to get the puck off the wall, and then the other teammates supporting them getting in over the line, and that's how that play happened. Then with Schenn going to the net, and Schenn going to the net is the one that distracted Henrique, and the puck went off of Adam Henrique and in. So to me, when I talked to the two players after the game, there was a level of confidence that they didn't feel that game was over.
Good stuff, Chris. We will talk next week. Thank you so much for your time.
All right, have a great day and a great weekend, Frank. Thanks.
All right, that is Chris Kerber, and he's brought to us by Petromart. Petromart is a locally owned and operated family business that's been serving the St. Louis area for over 30 years. Each location is just as clean, fast, and friendly as the next, with 50 locations to serve you. In a hurry, Petromart offers a wide selection of grab-and-go food items like hot and ready pizza or fresh fruit and salads. Petromart has something for everybody, and it's always prepared fresh and available around the clock. Petromart, a proud supplier of Phillips 66 gasoline and a proud sponsor of the St. Louis Blues.
That was it for Frank Cusimano with Chris Kerber talking about the Blues game tonight against the L.A. Kings. Tonight, Illinois basketball is playing Indiana here on 590 The Fan. So no Cam Jansen show tonight, no Charlie Tuna. But from 3 to 6 p.m., we're taking up right till we go to national programming. It is Frank Opinion and the Large Morning Show. Have a great day, everybody. The Hardline is back tomorrow.